sheriff's expenses before. Say that, let me say, we have a Macedonia call, news players, letters in, out there, if I get a copy of what it'd be here today. Like, there's a lot of information on missionaries that were here, and Tom Alondi was here to preach for us, he's got an article in there, get out that call with Joe. On that presbytery, Brother Zach, and what is the number?
254.
Back in the Lord's house this morning. Good to see each and every one that's made it their choice to come this way. The Lord is, I guess, Sister Jean didn't think it was good, but I think it's pretty good. He cooled it back down a little bit. It got a little hot there this week, seemed like for me, but I believe summertime is upon us, and you know, we're coming into season where our revival is coming up in about a month and or less. And then there's a lot of other revivals that's going to be starting here too. And it's important that we try to get ourselves in a condition that we need to be for revival. You know, not only for ours, for the sake of this church, but for the sake of all the sister churches round and about that we fellowship with and we visit. And, it's just as much our responsibility when we go somewhere else to follow the leadership of the Lord and do what the Lord would have us to do there as it is here. And I think that's what the Lord expects of us, but we need to be in prayer about that, about asking the Lord to help us to be where we need to be. Pray for lost to come. I've I've helped in one effort meeting this year already, and I believe there might have been one person, what they said, that was lost throughout the effort. And, you know, it's tough to preach a revival in an effort meeting without there being lost there. It's a hard thing, but it's a sad thing that we're seeing more and more in our churches that the lost aren't coming to here. And let's be in prayer about that. Be diligent in our works, in our efforts to invite people to come that's lost, to hear the word. Be prayerful about the Lord opening doors of opportunities for us that we can get people to hear and listen to the truth, that they can be saved. And I'm just, those things are on my heart today, and I just hope they're on everybody's heart, that everybody will be mindful of this and this situation that this world is in. You know, I don't know that things are worse as far as the sin in the world. There's always been sin in the world, but I know there's one thing today. The old devil has given this world a whole lot more choices. He's given them a whole lot more choices and opportunities to do anything and everything but come to church and hear the truth. And they're doing just that. So let's be prayerful and mindful about that. Be a thought of anyone's heart this morning before we go to the Lord in prayer.
Brother Arnold, I have a lot of family that's going to be traveling this week. All of my family's coming down from Knoxville. Rick and all his family's coming in from Washington State. I'd like to pray that they have a safe trip down. I know that there's some in my family that are lost. I know my husband does not believe. I don't know the rest of his family, but they all need your prayers, not only for a safe trip, but for the main trip.
Lord help. Let's remember her family and her husband. They do. They need to hear the truth. They do. Pray that they will come. I hope they come next Sunday. Hope we see them all. Someone else this morning. Someone on your heart. If not, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. I certainly desire an interest in your prayers this morning as I try to stand. Just bring forth those things that the Lord's put on my heart today. Nothing to be said or done. Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer?
Lord, that you just running back and forth, running on. You're well rested, you're good to go. But if you're rested, you know, it's on the reason. But if you're well bored, you know that. Pray much. Rushing back on the so much for helping us out. Forgive us for our sin, Lord. We thank you for all your blessings, your wings, your precious, your body, and our honor and glory. That is what we ask for, we pray. Forgive us for our sins. Thank you, dear God, for our salvation. In Jesus' name, we humbly beg.
Amen.
Amen.
192. The verse called it out of Psalm 11, and it's often for a pastor, a class member, and a good question, and a good preacher. And for the big part of the cattle, 192.
I don't know what I'll behold that morning divine.
I've got some thoughts this morning that I want to share, and I have I spent most of the day yesterday counseling a young couple that I'm going to marry at the end of this month, and so some of these things that come upon my mind as we were doing this was I want to try to present with the Lord's help this morning. I'm going to take a reading lesson out of the second chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'm going to start reading in 18th verse, Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 18. It says, "And the Lord said, Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." My thoughts this morning is, I guess it has basically a twofold meaning. When we think about marriage, we think about in our lifestyles, in our ways, we think about a marriage between a man and a woman. Holy matrimony that the Lord sanctioned through and by His Word. That one man for one woman. And we also, in the reading and understanding, we find basically that the Lord used a parallel of marriage in His church and Christ. We find that in the Old Testament, we find the parallel of God in Israel. And these are the things that I want to think about this morning as we think about, as we have the thoughts of or the perspective of marriage. I want us to put these things in perspective of the church and the church being the bride. That Christ will come back one day and marry. And think about, I guess my thought this morning is commitment. When I, as I've been trying to talk to this young couple, it's about a commitment. It's a great marriage. It is a great commitment between a man and a woman. There's a lot of responsibilities on both their parts. And I tried to take the Bible and bring out these points. But marriage, I guess, is defined as two people that make a dual commitment. They make a commitment to the institution of marriage, which is the outer circle, and the relationship or the commitment to the person, which is the inner circle. The inner part of the ring. If you look at a ring, the ring, most of us that are here today are married, and we're wearing wedding bands. You think about the institution of just exactly what marriage is, and you think about the dates and the times. You look back in history and say 20s to the 50s. There was a great deal of emphasis that was put on the institution. You know, the marriage itself, being married, one man, one woman. The institution of marriage, there was a great deal of emphasis put on that. There was a great deal of emphasis put on the headship, the man being the head of the house. But there wasn't that much emphasis that was put on the relationship, the inner circle. There wasn't that much at all that was placed upon that. And the Bible plainly teaches both. Teaches the outward institution and the inward relationship. The same way goes today with the church. We can come into this building today and this church or this institution, if you will put it, and that we have been united with, if we've been saved and baptized into this body, we're a member of this institution, of this church, and I guess my thoughts are this morning, where is our focus and our commitment? The Bible teaches that there is a commitment to the person. The inner portion of the ring, the part of the finger, the body that's attached to it, the person that's attached to it, and the outer commitment, the institution, the marriage, and what it all encompasses, what all goes into a marriage process. My thoughts this morning on our commitments as a church to the body is our commitment to the institution only? Is it to, I've come in and I've come to church. It's Sunday morning and I've come to church. I've made my commitments to the institution that the Lord saved me and I'm baptized and I've come to church. I've fulfilled my commitment to the church, to the institution. But the inner commitment, the one that's represented with inside, the love for Christ is the both parts. It's a two-way street. You think about the days that we come into, the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and up until today. All of a sudden, there's not a commitment to the institution, is it? There's not really a commitment to the church like there or to the marriage. There's more so thoughts of people's minds of just living together. You don't have to get married. You know, there's not a commitment to the institution of marriage the way that the Lord laid it out. One man, one woman. There's a rebellious state along those lines. But there's a lot of, commitment to the inner part, to the relationship part, without the other. It's important that we consider these things this morning and think about what part of the commitment. Are we completely committed to everything? Are we committed to the institution? Are we committed to the church to do like we're supposed to do? Are we to I can't help but think there's so many people that's not here for one reason or another. The institution that the Lord set into place when He came upon this earth and He set up His church. There's so many people that make a choice not to be a part of that process. The Bible teaches us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. The Lord give us a day of rest. He set aside a day a week for us to rest and to meet with Him. And you could go back in the garden and you can find that man needed a woman. The Lord expects us to do our part in the work of the service, just like as each one of us has a part to do in the work of a marriage. God expects the church to react the same way. He expects us to be. The Bible says over in this reading that they shall become one flesh. the outer portion of the ring and the inner portion, the commitment has to be primary on both of them, not just one or the other, because if there's a commitment to the institution and not to loving the Lord, if you think all you got to do is come to church on Sunday and everything is okay, but you don't love the Lord and you don't serve the Lord with all your heart, then there's a problem. If you love the Lord but you want to stay home every Sunday and forsake the assembling of yourselves and being in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, which I believe in the Lord's church that He meets with us. I believe that His Spirit comes and it meets with us and it directs us and it guides us. I believe He blesses us. I believe we grow in His Word and His knowledge. I believe every little thing that happens, the songs that's sung, the testimonies that's made, everything has its place and its purpose. And that the Lord's involved in it and that we all grow from it. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's how we are to be happy. This is what's supposed to bring joy in our lives. So many times today, though, that we find so many things that's so much more interesting to us that draws our attention away and takes us and separates us away from what the Lord says true happiness and true joy is. You know, if there's a marriage between a man and a woman and they don't put the emphasis on both sides of that, if they don't put any emphasis, if a husband never tells his wife that he loves her, never shows her that he loves her, even though they're both wearing a wedding band and that they're committed to the institution of marriage, it's a miserable, sad, in my opinion. It's not happy. There's not joy in that. Same way it is with the church. We need to... There's so many things over in the book of Ephesians, and I've read this probably recently. I don't remember exactly when, but in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man has ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." This comparison of a man and a wife and the church and Jesus here is laid out. And I think that each one is applicable in relationships between a man and a woman. And I think it's given here that it's applicable for the church and Christ to direct us. For the Lord's direction, the Lord, Jesus being the husband. Those of us that are here, whether we're a man or a woman, or boy or girl, we're classified as the wife because we're a part of the church body. So all these things that we think about when you think about the God and Israel in the Old Testament, you know, God chose Israel to be His people. They were His chosen. God chose him. those people to be His people. There's many references we find in the Old Testament about just exactly what Jesus referenced to Israel. He was making a reference about the bride and about the espousal. In Hosea, in the second chapter, in the 19th and 20th verses, it says, "And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord." You know, you think about many of the times in the Old Testament, the Old Testament was always pointing towards the new. It was always pointing towards Christ. They was pointing towards Messiah. No doubt there's many instances in here that they, you know, was speaking about a relationship, an intimate knowledge, an intimacy of knowing. No doubt this has reference to knowing the Lord spiritually. Being saved is what we would call it. But he referred to it in the sense of the matter that people could understand, because man and woman would get married and they know that there was intimacy involved and that they knew that there was a relationship involved. And he presented to them all these things that they could understand it. Over into Ezekiel, we find in the 16th chapter, starting in verse 8, it says, "Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, and saith the Lord God, thou becamest mine. I washed thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skins, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon my hands, and a chain upon thy neck. And I put a jewel on my forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus was thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper in a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord." All these things that is presented to Israel, to a people, about God choosing them. We know that God loved these people and He tried to direct them and He wanted them to know Him. He wanted there to be a relationship on the inside of the ring and the outside of the ring. But unfortunately, the Jewish people went the other way. They had a great, respect or responsibility towards the law and towards the institution. But when Jesus came, they denied Him. They denied their Savior. They denied the inside of the ring. They denied the relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when they came. They were big on the institution. They was big on the law. They was big going to church and sacrifices and all the different things that they did. They was big on that. But there was something missing. The love portion of that. See, when we come to church, if we just come to church and we don't come to church and try to show the Lord that we love Him, and while our presence is in the midst, then there's something missing in the marriage. There's something lacking. It takes joy out of us It takes joy out of us when we try to serve the Lord if there's something lacking. Whether we have something, whether it's something to do with the church, an institution, or the person. If we're not serving all of it in the right manner, then it takes the joy away from it. And God is not pleased with it. There's, you know, I just want to go through some of these things you think about over in 1 Samuel, where the people, all of a sudden, they didn't want somebody to tell them what to do anymore from God. They wanted a king. They wanted man to tell them what to do. Over in the 8th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, in the 6th verse, it says, "But the thing displeased Samuel, and they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." Verse 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, 'Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." The oneness in the institution of marriage is... I don't know. You just don't hear about it much. In 1 Samuel also, in the 15th verse, or 15th chapter and 22nd verse, "And Samuel said, 'Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the rams.'" They were making a lot of sacrifices. They was going through the motions. They was doing the things. They was living the law. They was doing what they was supposed to do. All of you that are here today, you're doing what you think is right. You made it your choice to come to church. And I thank God for that. I truly do. But as we, in our commitment to this church and to the Lord, we have to understand that it goes farther than beyond the commitment to the church. The love of the Lord is what is required. Obeying the voice of the Lord. To obey is better than to sacrifice. To listen to the Lord when He speaks to us and He tells us what to do and how to do it is more important. People of Israel, they didn't want a relationship with God. They just wanted the power and the control. And many times you see the same thing in marriages. There's power. There's obedience. Obey. Obey me. The domineering aspect of it. Control in a marriage. But... it takes both. It takes the inner circle and it takes the outer circle. It takes a commitment to the person as well as the institution. God and Israel established a covenant and Israel fell short on it. We can find over in the book of Matthew, and this is portions of what I read for a text this morning is written in about four or five different places in the Bible. But we can look over into the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. And 4th verse, and it says, "And he answered and said unto them, 'Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder.'" The way that God has ordained marriage, the way that God has ordained a man and a woman. All the things that's laid out, God never ever ordained a man and another man. He never ordained a woman and another woman. None of those things will work. None of those things will work. But he says that a man and a woman, that they become one. And it's important that we see that and understand that. There's always a place where there is headship that is involved in the marriage. That's the way the Bible teaches it. That there is a head. There's always a headship. But in that headship, you'll never know the difference if the love is there. If the love for one another is there, you'll never know the difference. The headship of this church, we know Jesus is the head of this church. Christ is the head of this church. And if we love Him and we do those things that He has laid out for us to do and directed us to do, if we listen to the direction of the Lord and His leadership and guidance, there'll be a oneness in our services with the Lord. There'll be joy. There'll be happiness. There'll be fulfillment in the services to God. And in each and everything that we do to serve and lift up God, there'll be fulfillment in it. And there'll be joy and there'll be blessings upon blessings for doing those things, because that's the way the Lord ordained it. The church is built up of a revealed, intimate knowledge of God. Each one of us that are married here today, we have an intimate knowledge of our spouse. We know our spouse. The Lord knows us. The Lord knows us. He knows everything about us. You can turn over in the book of Revelations in the second and third chapters and plainly read out and see that the Lord knows the works of His churches. He knows all about each and every one of us. And, you know, we can go back and we can find where all the members of this body are one body and Christ is the head. It all, there's teachings in here that puts it all together all the way through. We know that you have to be saved to be in the Lord's church, and that was part of it. But my thought today, where is our commitment? Is it on the institution? Is it just on the church? Or is our commitment also on the relationship with our Lord and Savior? Are we trying to grow closer in our relationship? You know, in your marriage, you want your love to grow, don't you? You don't want it to separate. You don't want things to come between you and your wife. You don't want those marriages and those things to draw things to pull you apart. Well, things that would take us away from the Lord, that would draw us away from the church and the service to God, we don't want those things either, do we? We want those things to be in harmony and in love. That way we can know and understand that the Lord is blessing it. So those are my thoughts today. Not just to have our commitment on the institution or the church, but to the relationship with the Lord that we have. Let's focus our commitment on that, and because the Bible teaches that it has to be both. It can't be one or the other, or there's going to be something lacking. Something's going to be lacking in our service to God. Something's going to be lacking in the part of our efforts for the church and in the institution of that. May God bless each and every one of y'all this morning. Those are my thoughts, and I pray that the Lord can use it in some way. It'd be a thought or a word on anyone's heart this morning. Anything else? Conference meeting tonight. Everyone that can and will, please come. We've skipped a couple of them, so we need to get some things behind us. Anything else?
Peace.
If not, all stand. Be dismissed. Like I said, everyone that can and will, please come back tonight for business meeting. This is the Lord's Word. That's part of the institution. That's part of the outward part. That's part of your responsibility as a churchman to take care of the outward part of the institution. And that includes the business meeting. So, anything else? Look, wait, would you dismiss us?
Father,
for the point that I'm this way today. Thank you, Father, for the earth, and the brother. Bring up the Father.